This week on Ozarks at Large, we have been discussing poverty in Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri Madolkar has been talking to experts, advocates, and social workers to get to the root of Arkansas's poverty problem. Today, we find out why Arkansas has been so chronically poor and how the poverty problem affects all of us.
Here's something you might find interesting. Go to the Google search engine. Type in, why is Arkansas? And wait till Google autocomplete offers suggestions to complete or finish the sentence. One of the four suggestions that pops up is, why is Arkansas so poor? Dr. Michael Katz is a poverty historian at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia and author of the book, The Undeserving Poor, From the War on Poverty to the War on Welfare. I asked him, why have Arkansas and the American South been so chronically poor?
Well, it's part of the underdevelopment of the South as a region historically, going back to slavery and the failure to industrialize until late, the kind of staple economy, a lack of the union movement to take root there. The South, you know, really was, until after the Second World War, in many ways, a nation apart in terms of its social structure and in terms of its economy. And a lot goes back to the, you know, to the history of a plantation economy that ran on black slavery.
Over the years, several other causes have emerged. Rich Huddleston, the executive director of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, says one of them is the structure of a state's economy.
You know, what kind of jobs do you have in state, and what do those jobs pay? And so so states that, you know, quite frankly, have more advanced economies with more of a high-tech economy, that have more jobs, that pay better, the residents of that state are less likely to be in poverty than in another state.
Huddleston says a state's economy is also directly correlated with education.
If you look at states that have high levels of education, in states where the college attendance and graduation rate is high, those states tend to have less poverty than others.
He says Arkansas has made impressive progress in the field of education in the past decade, but still has a long way to go when it comes to college graduation rates.
Because we have far too many people who go to college who, quite frankly, are just not prepared to succeed in college. And if you're in that situation, chances are you need more remedial courses while you're in college. And the more remedial courses you need means it's going to take you longer, and it also means that you're less likely to graduate.
Huddleston says that according to research, for a state's residents to find better jobs, investments need to be made early on.
Kids who are born into poverty and who spend the first few years of their life in poverty, they tend to be at greater risk in terms of not being prepared to succeed in school, in part because their families are poor, and so they may not get good access to health care while they're young. They may not have all the family resources that it takes to really help a young child grow up healthy. They may not have enough books in the family. And it also may just mean that their parents themselves are not very well educated.
Leah Hamilton, assistant professor of social work at the University of Arkansas, says there are several vicious cycles at work in Arkansas. Because the state has an insufficient number of college-educated residents, it does not attract a sufficient number of well-paying jobs with benefits. So, when Arkansans do earn a college degree, they often leave the state to find employment. The other vicious cycle, Hamilton says, is that programs aimed at helping the poor do not encourage savings and financial independence. For example, the current asset limit to avail temporary employment assistance program benefits is $3,000, which leaves a family with very little safety net for future emergencies. Another factor that plays an important role in determining a state's rate of poverty is minimum wage. The state's current minimum wage is $6.25 compared to the federal minimum wage of $7.25.
If you've got one parent working in a four-person household or even two parents working, that's not going to get you to the basic amount you need to get by. So as we said, citizens generally agree that it costs a family of four about $40,000 to pay for basic needs. And even two incomes on minimum wage is not going to get you there. So just raising that to even half of the median income would significantly increase quality of life for a large number of citizens.
The median income for households in Arkansas is close to $39,000. So, what are the effects of poverty? Rich Huddleston from Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families says that poverty directly impacts health and education outcomes for the people living in it. Poor parents are also much more likely to pass on poverty to their children, thus perpetuating the cycle of poverty. Finally, there is the economic cost of poverty to the state.
If you look just at the economic impact of kids living in poverty, it results in the loss of about results in a loss of about $6.2 billion to the Arkansas economy each year because of things like lost economic productivity, because of expenses associated with crime and running a juvenile justice and criminal justice system, and then also just the amount that you have to spend on healthcare issues later for adults. And so poverty imposes not just costs on those families directly impacted by poverty, but it hurts the workforce, and it just hurts the overall economic well-being of the state. And we're all hurt by poverty.
But when it comes to finding a remedy for poverty or investing resources to overcome it, states and the federal government always cite a lack of funding to do so, Michael Katz says. The poverty historian from the University of Pennsylvania at Philadelphia says the idea of cutbacks and shortage of resources makes him very impatient.
This country is incredibly rich. It's awash in resources. And it's really a question of how we handle those, how we want to distribute them. You know, whenever we want to do something, whenever we want to fight a war, for instance, whenever we want to invade Iraq or have a prolonged war in Afghanistan, somehow the money is there, right? But when it becomes a question of, say, the money so that we could cut the number of children and live in poverty in half, have enough money, like the city where I live, Philadelphia, to fund the school system decently, then, that money just doesn't exist.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large's series on poverty, we meet Casey Bird, a single mother of two who is living below the poverty level.
It's been up and down. I have always worked more than one job. I do cleaning as well. I've done some commercial cleaning, and I clean people's houses. And I still do massage and skincare. I have little massage parties or facial parties, some on the side. And so I've always had to carry more than one job to be able to keep things afloat. So it's always been a struggle, but I guess it's in how you look at it.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar.
If you have any comments or suggestions, please let us know. Email us on ozarksatlarge@gmail.com or visit the Ozarks at Large Facebook page to tell us what you think.